This was Jesus' favorite topic, the kingdom of heaven. And it's really the Lord's Prayer is got Jesus is saying, guys, I want this to become your favorite topic. That's what he's saying in the Lord's Prayer. It's not for us to rhetorically, religiously repeat word for word. It's for us to catch the heart of what he's saying. The thing that Jesus wants to care about is this spiritual kingdom that came to the earth in Christ. Now, when Jesus was baptized, he said, permit it to be so that we fulfill all righteousness. And the heavens were rendered and the Spirit of God came and descended upon Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn. When man sinned in the garden, man got kicked out of God's temple, garden, family, kingdom. Man got kicked out and separated from God's plan and design for humanity. It would be a crying shame for us to still live kicked out now and not come back in through the new living way. Because there was a cherubim, this mighty angel with a flaming sword that flashed every direction, put at the entrance of the Garden of Eden to guard the way to the Tree of Life. And then centuries later, we have this temple, this tabernacle and this temple, and the curtain of the thing is covered in cherubim. And when Jesus died on the cross, well, by the way, behind the curtain was the ark, the very manifest presence of God, where he would literally come and dwell in the Shekinah glory cloud. And it was intense. People were scared to go in there. Anyway, that's another story. But the point is, when Jesus died on the cross, the way that was inaccessible for man was opened again. And the way back to the life of God was opened on the cross. And so Jesus comes, and in the day when Jesus walked on the earth, everybody fell into this trap of thinking that Jesus was here to overthrow the Romans. Jesus was here to let me sit next to him on his right hand in this seat of power. They fell into the trap of thinking that God had come to do something that they wanted him to do. And I think in Christianity, we have fallen in, I think we've fallen at large. A lot of Christians have fallen into the same trap of thinking that Jesus came to, forgive our sins, kind of let us off the hook so that we can go to heaven someday, because we like that idea and that sounds good. But when Jesus comes down, he says, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It has come near you. And then he says these things like, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He says, don't look over there. Don't look over there. It's within you. He said, if you don't become like a little child, if you don't just get real simple and innocent and just receive the kingdom like a little child, you will by no means enter it. He said to Nicodemus that night, when Nicodemus came to see him, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You cannot see this spiritual kingdom. That's okay. That's good. Maybe it's like a Selah moment, like just pause and... So unless we're born again, unless something spiritual happens in man, he can't even see this kingdom that Jesus brought to the earth and is wanting to give us. He can't see this inheritance. But he also says, unless you're born again, you will not enter. You'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on and he talks about how Of all who were born unto men, there's never been anyone greater than John the Baptist. And then he says, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
Whoa.
And then he says, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, if you don't have a greater righteousness than the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So the only way to enter the kingdom of heaven, and when I say enter the kingdom of heaven, I don't mean walk through the pearly gates after you die. And that's not what Jesus meant either when he was talking about it. He's talking about entering into the way. The way. He's talking about entering into living on earth with the realities of heaven, that as it is in heaven. And that's what he's wanting us to desire. That's what he's wanting us to pray about. That's what he's wanting us to seek first. He said, seek first the kingdom, which means realm. It means the realm of heaven. Seek first the realm of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. So there's this kingdom that Jesus brings to the earth. He says, the kingdom's at heaven. But first he says, repent and believe the good news. Repent means a couple of things. It means to turn resolutely in a certain direction. So it's like this. That's repent. And it also means to think differently. That's pretty simple. Think differently. Metanoia is the Greek word. It means think differently. So he's saying turn, think differently, and believe the good news. Now in Hebrews, if you believe it's Paul, fine. If not, fine. The writer of Hebrews is saying, by now you guys should be teachers. By now you guys should actually be teachers. But you need someone again to teach you the basic spiritual principles of Christ. The basic principles of the oracles of God is what it says. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is a babe in Christ and is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Unskilled in the word of righteousness. And he says, let's not lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God. God is wanting us to grow up into him in all things and partake of this inheritance that he's given us. So in the book of Ephesians, which is what we've just started, it says, in verse 3, which is where we got up to, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Okay? I'm just going to read on a few verses, and then we'll come back to the every spiritual blessing. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Let me go backwards with that. It brought God great pleasure. It pleased him, and it was his heart's desire to predestine you and I to be adopted, legally adopted children. And you say, well, why adopted child? Well, because you were born into the kingdom of another. We were all born into Adam. And you must be born again. We weren't born as, redeemed, spirit-filled children of God. We're born dead in sin, guys. And you must be born again. So we were predestined to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. That means before time, the thing that God had in mind for you and I is that we would be adopted sons of God on the earth. And sonship looks like something. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, when he's talking about loving your enemies, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. And we know that in Galatians, he says, we're all sons of God through faith in Christ. So the foundational beginning of sonship is putting our faith in Christ, believing that he came and died because he loves us and he took away our sin, made us right with God, and now put his Holy Spirit in us, who is the seal of our inheritance. He's the seal of the things that are to come as we grow up into him in all things and begin to enter into the kingdom. So it's the good pleasure of his will. This is God's idea. The kingdom is God's idea. We are not twisting his arm. It is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Why? Because we were created to be sons of God. And it is our inheritance. Because Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. He brought us into our inheritance. He's the one who fulfilled what man failed. He's the one who fulfilled all righteousness. He's the one who ripped the veil and made a way back for us into everything that God created for us to have. Are you with me? So this is why he loves us, guys. Because he made us for a reason. He made us to be like Jesus. He made us to walk in love, to cover the earth with his glory, to multiply his image, to tend his garden, his temple, garden, family, kingdom, and to grow it until the glory of God covers the earth. That's why he loves us. He loves what he created us to be. He loves what he predestined us to be. And don't you dare read a passage like that and build a doctrine out of what it doesn't say. If you are reading this, God predestined you to adoption as his son. Period. Okay? That's what it says. Can we preach what it says? Okay. So because he wanted us to be sons, that's why he has redeemed us. That's why he has made a way through the blood. That's why the blood is speaking a better word. That's why his covenant of peace will never be removed. That's why he's not changing his mind about us, because he is committed to restoring us back to what he created us to be. And everything that was standing in the way was nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ and completely removed. He cancelled the record of the charges against us, nailing it to the tree. We just read that in Colossians. So now we have access. It says later on in this chapter that we're going to work through, it says that we, no, that's actually Romans 5, says that we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God, and we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So he's given us access to his kingdom. The kingdom, 1 Corinthians 4:20, is not word or speech. It is living by God's power. So there's a manifestation of sonship. Sonship looks like something as we grow and mature as sons. Every spiritual blessing now in the heavenly places has been given to us in Christ Jesus, but it is absolutely up to us whether we want to enter in. It's up to us whether we want to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. His righteousness. And we think that that word means doing good things. No, that's the works of righteousness. That's the fruit of righteousness. At its core, righteousness is a free gift. It's right standing with the holy, pure, perfect God of the universe. You can't earn that. You can't make your way there. He gives us that right standing in Christ. It's a free gift. And as we seek to grow in our revelation and understand and pursue righteousness, it gives us access to the kingdom. Why? Because now we're not striving under the load of the law to earn our own righteousness. We're just starting where he finished. Like childlike faith, saying, wow, he's forgiven me, I'm forgiven. He loves me, I'm loved by God. And you begin to relate and commune with the Lord and begin to thank him, and you begin to see. Paul's prayers, he like that prayer that Alfred this morning, he's praying that we would understand, have spiritual understanding. Later on in Ephesians 3, Ephesians 1, Paul's praying that we would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we might know what is the hope of his calling. He's praying that we might be able to see what the inheritance that Jesus has given to us, that he has paid for. The reality is that Jesus says all these unlimited things. Like, if you have faith, you will speak to the mountain and it will move. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and you shall have it. Jesus is saying, if we will grow in faith, if we will grow in our revelation of Christ, if we'll grow in our understanding of what Jesus has done for us, what he has given to us in the kingdom, then we can walk on the earth in such a way that it's going to bring difference. It's going to bring change. We're going to walk in power. And Jesus said, no, sorry, Paul says in Romans 14:18 that the kingdom is not meat or drink. It's not about observing religious regulations. It's not about the day you worship. It's not about the time you worship. It's not about your denomination. The kingdom, the spiritual kingdom that Jesus is giving us and putting on the inside of us, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That means when we start to see who we've become as sons of God, we start to understand our inheritance that we have in him. It brings joy. There's a manifestation. We are not walking around just under the heavy load and burden of life. We see a bigger picture. We have peace with God, and we've got access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So the kingdom, the spiritual realities that he's bringing to us, we can't see unless we're born again. But not only can we not see it unless we're born again, we can't see it unless we seek it. We have to seek it. Jesus isn't being rhetorical when he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we talk about building a kingdom. Jesus talks about entering a kingdom, entering into living kingdom reality, living sons of God on the earth. And if we sit back and think that, you know, at large, there's a view of Christianity that is, we are forgiven, but we're just forgiven sinners, you know, we're forgiven, not perfect, we're just kind of busted and broken, but God loves us, it's amazing, we don't really know why, and one day we're going to heaven. We can live our whole Christian life and miss all of this. We can miss our purpose. We can miss our identity, our value to God. We're pearls of great price. He gave up everything for us. Everything for us. Now, he's a pearl of great price as well, and we need to give up everything for him. Okay? But we're precious to him because he made us for purpose. We have a destiny. We have a destiny. We were created to be conformed to the image of Jesus. If becoming like Jesus isn't the number one thing in your life, you've missed the whole reason you're on the earth. That's according to the New Testament. Like, that's got to matter to us to the point where we begin to pray the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come in my life. Your kingdom come in and through my life. And now, I'll just close with this. These are some of the things we have in the kingdom. When we enter into seeking first his kingdom, it's almost like, you know, in the garden where God says, the day you eat the fruit is the day you surely die, right? And then there's the cherubim to block the way. Well, the invitation from Jesus is almost like he came out to the gate, which he does say, I am the gate, right, for the sheep. And he kind of moves the cherubim out of the way and says, thanks, you've done your job. And now he's inviting us and saying, do you want to rejoin my garden? Do you want to come back into my will, back into the life that I created to be here on the earth? And he's inviting us back in. That's what he's offering us through the kingdom. And in that place, we find he restores authority. He gives us to partake of his divine nature. How? Through these great and precious promises, which means it's faith and communion and relationship with God is where we're grabbing these things by faith, and we're just receiving them by faith. That's one part. And then there's favor, blessing, sonship, power, holiness. Holiness isn't what you don't do. It's not what you don't do. It could be a part of purity, right? It's a part of it. Holiness emanates from his throne. It's who he is. It's his life coming up in and through. It's the sap in the vine. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Good tree bears good fruit. Okay? So the other thing I'll say is this kingdom of heaven, we're probably going to be on this diagram for a while, so I will just wrap it up. But the other thing is that the kingdom is in the Holy Spirit. That verse we just read from Romans, it's in the Holy Spirit, which means all of these realities only ever come to us through agent of the Holy Spirit, okay? So these spiritual realities that want to come actually to us, want to work in us, and actually at a point want to work through us, but we'll get to that later, it all comes through the Holy Spirit. So what we're talking about is we're talking about Ephesians 1:3. We're talking about every spiritual blessing now in the heavenly places. In the heavenly places. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's our inheritance that Jesus Christ came to give us back. And it is a far cry from the prayer to get to heaven gospel. In the garden, man was made to have eternal life and have eternal communion with God. That is part of what is restored. It is a piece of the truth. It is not the focal point of the gospel. The focal point of the gospel is being conformed to the image of Christ. It's becoming like Jesus, guys. Christ in us is the hope of glory. We are not waiting for a big move of God. We are not waiting for... revival starts in us. You are the only Jesus some people will ever see. And you're not Jesus, but he lives in you. He wants to make you like him. So you can shine, and then when you actually share, there's a bit of weight to your words and my words. Don't think that I'm thinking I'm there. Okay, that'll do. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you preached a different message than maybe what some that we've heard. You preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You preached that it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And God, you said if we don't receive it like little children, then we'll by no means enter it. God, we don't want to miss out on what you shed blood to give us. We don't want to miss out on the inheritance that you paid for us to have. We don't want to be ignorant, God. We don't want to be like the Jewish people that Paul talks about in Romans 10:4, where he says that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And being ignorant of the righteousness of God, they sought to establish their own righteousness. We don't want to live a legalistic life trying to be good Christians. We want to be like children, God, and receive the things that you've given to us freely. And God, maybe some of us can't see these things. Maybe some of us, these things are a bit foggy too. Let's not ignore that the first thing you said is repent. Let's not ignore that when the Pharisees came down to be baptized, John the Baptist said, "Who warned you to flee the coming wrath?" Who warned you to just run away from the wrath of God? That's not the focus here. Produce fruits worthy of repentance. Jesus, everybody else came confessing their sins and saying, "Man, I've been selfish. I don't want this life anymore." God, if we've got sin in our lives, if we've got things that are stopping us from seeing your kingdom, stopping us from seeing your goodness, stopping us from understanding and perceiving spiritual things, and God, I pray that there would be strong conviction in people's hearts to just confess, just vomit it out, And let your blood, let your beauty, let your goodness, let your mercy take it away. Let it be done. Let it be nailed to the cross. And God, I pray that, like Alf shared this morning, that we would have spiritual wisdom and understanding, that we would have the knowledge of your will, so that we can walk worthy of this calling. God, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.